Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please stow your bad vibes underneath the seat in front of you or in an overhead bin. Please take your seat and fasten your seatbelt. On behalf of Sham, Uptown Mike, and the entire crew, welcome aboard the Black Sand Podcast. Nonstop service from New York to Toronto, with our final destination being Abu Dhabi. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Thank you.
All right. So welcome back, season three, Black Sand Podcast. We got Mike, Washington Heights finest over here.
What's going on? What's going on? New IG, if Mike was here.
Yeah, plug that again. You know, Mike, before we get a little bit deeper, just give a 10-second introduction as to what you're doing with that IG account.
I mean, it's my new IG, and honestly, I'm just going public with it. A lot of people have been hitting me up saying that my travel's been inspiring them. So, you know, first I'm posting on IG just all the travels that I've been through. I've been to 55 countries. So going to be promoting that and also looking to get the YouTube page popping, just a day in the life of living out in Abu Dhabi.
Right. You know, it's good to see people that look like us traveling. You know, Mike did mention that he has been getting some DMs about people, you know, saying, hey, keep doing your thing. And he doesn't really know how to respond to that, you know, but like, it's not humble when you're leading by example. Right, Mike. So, you know, what you're doing is a good thing. Hold your head up, King. You know what I mean? There's youngins looking up to you and all that stuff. So my beef with you is that you're not posting enough itineraries. So you've been to 55 countries. And obviously the nice hotels, but you don't tell me where to stay and all that. So that's my challenge to you. Step that up on your page.
No, that's honestly, I gotta create a plan, man, as far as, because I got a bunch of countries that I have before. Like, am I going to recycle that or start from new? So right. We're going to see. I gotta tell you my ideas and you let me know.
All right. You know what? That could be an episode in itself. And today we got a special guest, the man, the myth from Texas. By way of Abu Dhabi, can I say that? Jason Khalid, Jason Khalid, Hayes. All right.
Hey, how you doing, Shale?
All right. So, Jason, let's get a 5-second introduction of your background. Don't forget the alphabets at the end of your last name. All right.
All right. Then, So, Jason Khalid Hayes from Austin, Texas, originally. You know, go by the HNIC or at the head nerd in charge. So, you know, peep me out there. You know, I said, you know, we met up in Abu Dhabi. You know, that was a time, you know, time of my life and everything for me and the family. And out here back in Texas, I wanted to come back. I need to come back. And, you know, I'm trying to fulfill my destiny, what I'm putting out here on earth.
There we go. Hey, don't forget about your TikTok. Your TikTok's doing some numbers out there. Plug your TikTok real quick.
Yeah. Once again, the head nerd in charge.
Okay.
Nerd in charge. Yes, sir. I'm keeping that thorough. The HNIC.
You dancing on TikTok or what you doing?
Oh, I can't be dancing. I can't even dance, man. I ain't got no rhythm for dancing and everything like that, man. My feet, my guilty feet ain't got no rhythm, man. You know, man. But no, actually, on my TikTok, what I've been doing is because I used to teach history, economics, and like government back in Texas. So you know, just trying to help people out when it comes to, you know, basic civics and everything. There's like a bush that was in front of a intersection. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I need to call City Hall, make sure it gets cut down. Took a video of that. People are like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe that's my niche. Just trying to do things I was doing in the classroom, putting it out there on TikTok.
Yeah, the power of social media. Dope. The power of social media. Yeah. All right, let's get into it. So right now there's a hot topic, Dave Chappelle. I'm sure both of you guys has watched the what do you want to call that? A documentary, the stand-up?
It was a comedy show.
A comedy? Yeah. I like to consider it a timepiece because it's actually taking a pivotal moment of what's going on in the society right now and kind of just bring it to the forefront. But Chappelle, you know, I don't really necessarily laugh at his jokes as much as I used to. You know, he just pokes a little bit. I like to think of it as just like a funny storyteller kind of thing. All right, so I'll start with you, Mike. So I know you watched it last week. What are your first thoughts on it?
I thought it was brilliant. He always, every time you watch one of his comedy specials, he always just talks about the time and, you know, he makes it funny, but it's also some truth to it. and all that. He's very witty with his words. But you know what messed me up is when you sent me that that IG meme where this this black woman in the coffee shop, she talks about, you know, on the other hand, like, because for me, I watched the whole thing and I'm like, what is the media talking about? They're exaggerating. He didn't say anything vulgar, anything insulting. But then I heard the flip side to it. So I'm confused, but I still don't think he did anything wrong. I think it was cool. I appreciate what he said, like just brought light to the topic and all that, especially like, you know, saying how the baby, he could kill someone in Walmart and not be canceled. But then he mentioned something about, but I do think the baby violated. The baby was, he was way out of line. You know what I mean? But I don't think he should be canceled. I think that's a perfect opportunity to then educate him, bring him in and, you know, kind of break those walls down that a lot of people have those stereotypes. I think it was a teaching moment, you know?
Yeah. All right. Jason, before you give your breakdown, I'm going to ask you a question. So let's just flip the roles a little bit. Now, let's say he's a white comedian and his target was the black community. You know what I mean? It's just like we can make fun of ourselves and all that. But, you know, can a white comedian stand up there and do the same thing?
Yeah, it depends on the white comedian. One of my favorite comedians out there, he's my top five dead or alive, would be Bill Burr.
Oh, okay, yeah, for sure.
And Bill Burr, the way that he goes about and talks about different communities, even when he talks about the black community, he talks about it in an aspect of like, hey, I've observed you guys, I've interacted. This is just my observations. And he says it in a very funny way. And the way he comes about it and the energy he has, we laugh at that as well. So that's why, like, if anybody wants to show like a masterclass of someone that's outside the community and be able to talk about that community and people will laugh at it and it's still good, would be Bill Burr. So like anybody out there that watch Bill Burr specials, I've seen him live, I've seen all of his specials. He does a good job about it. He'll even talk, he'll throw in Hitler, he'll throw in all these different like hilarious stuff. He talks about, like, you know, the dude is straight up like him, Chappelle. I mean, they do a very good job. And
Even Gary Owens, he's another white comedian.
He does
a good job.
He's not as
funny, but
he's more of a comic.
Different. Bill Burr is akin to Chappelle in terms of like taking small things and kind of twisting it so it makes you thinking about it. You know, Louis C.K., he has a great joke about the N-word. Like, it was you know, like, doesn't the N-word make it worse? Like, you know, as the a TV anchor should just say the nigger. Like, when she says the N-word, it makes you feel dirty and it just makes it 10 times worse. And I was just like, yo, this guy just said nigger. But I get it, you know what I mean? Bill Burr kind of follows that route. Gary Owens is like the white guy at the ball court that's trying to like shuckle and jive to get, you know, laughs from everyone there. I don't put him in the same category as that.
He has a black wife, if I'm not.
That doesn't mean it. All right, so you bring that up, like, you know, funny enough, you brought up the black wife because, you know, Chappelle, a huge portion of his special, his timepiece, was definitely dedicated to Daphne, the trans lady that he put on stage. So, you know, in some respects, some people were saying, well, he had a trans friend, but that's, we had to kind of like put that in a certain box because, oh, well, my black friends let me say the N-word. Yeah. Like, there's limits to everything.
Honestly, I think a lot of people's going to get upset at this too, but we're kind of comparing, you know, the kind of black plight, which has been going on for decades and decades. And now, I guess, it's not new, but, you know, now this, you know, transgender, gay, you know, that community, like, now is getting to light, and now you're seeing some of the stuff. But I guess the black, it's kind of like with the Asian community, how now because of COVID, you know, there's been Asian hate and all that. And they've been getting laws passed and things like that. And it's just been about, and nothing about, like, you shouldn't hate Asians or anything like that. But it's like, we didn't get anything. And it's been happening for decades, generations for us. And, you know, one group gets hated for a bit and, you know, the world just opens up.
Yeah, one group also understands collective power, but that's for another time.
BLM wasn't a collective power movement. Like, it wasn't enough, you know?
I mean, there is infighting within that, you know what I mean? So there's a difference between the organization and then the ideology, and that's what the clash was. So I mean, if someone was, I don't even want to get too deep into that, but I mean, if someone say, do you rep your BLM chapter in New York, you'd be like, not really. Like, you know, you go there, you know, I mean, there's going to be a lot that you disconnect.
I rep all of BLM.
All right. I'm going to talk to you about that off.
Yeah, that's
off
another camera. Topic in itself.
Yeah, for sure.
But can I add in and talk about like the comedians, right? And the role the comedians play. If you look at, let's say, a King Lear that we're supposed to read in high school, right? The most wisest person in that book was the jester, right? When he was talking about like justice and crime and everything. And like, it's the comedian. The jester is the one that actually points out, you know, the idiosyncrasies, the idiocracy of the things that we do. That's their job, because they're observant. And personally, I think they're very smart. Like my students, the most intelligent ones were the ones that mouthed off. They're the comedians and everything, right? Because they really show you, hey man, why would you do that? Like, oh man, that is kind of stupid. So, you know, with the comedians, like especially the funny ones, they actually point out the things that are weird. And Chappelle says it, like, hey, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to point those things out. And in a free society, we should be able to do that. And that's where the crux of the issue is that, all right, how far does our freedom of speech goes? And that's where he said, hey, I'm going all the way, right? He told Jew jokes, Asian jokes, and transgender jokes. Like, you know, three groups right now that are pretty hot right now. Right? Like Jews have been really hot when it comes to like, hey, that's a third rail, you don't talk about it. So when he had the space Jews jokes and everything, you know, then the transgender jokes, he's saying, hey, a lot of these comedians, like for the past 10, 15 years, they've been talking about, hey, a lot of things have been closing up. They're the canaries in the mine. In the mind saying that our freedom of speech is being taken away, and that's their job, that's their livelihood. So all these comedians, like, you know, Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, they've been talking about, you know, of cancel culture and saying that we can't talk about certain things, and like, hey, that's our livelihood, that's our society, you know. Right. So if we get rid of that, what kind of society we have if we can't talk about things? And right now, hey, we're really talking about it in trans community or any other community, say, hey, now that we're on this topic, hey, it's funny, all right, or maybe not funny. Let's talk about what's going on with the violence that is, you know, perpetrated against, you know, people who are trans. Let's talk about, you know, equality or whatever it may be. So you can use it as a platform, as you say, as a teachable moment.
Right. You know, so yeah, they spent a lot of time talking about campus censorship and how they don't even want to go on there, because the moment you say, you know, white's black, then boom, you got this protesting and all that craziness. But you mentioned free society, and that brings us to our next topic. Kyrie Irving. All right. So I'll keep it a buck. I drafted him for my fantasy team in hopes that this.
You just wasted a pick.
I told you. Exactly. I told you, leave that man alone.
Hey, chance for it. You know, it was too tempting. It was round 6 out of 12. I mean, like, I got it, man. Like, I just got to do it. So
even if he wouldn't have had the vaccine issue, you know, he going to come up with some BS. He ain't trying to hoop like that.
Right. I mean,
there's always going to be some.
All right, so let's get into it. So, Jason, I'm sure you know all about that. So he says he's not anti-vax. He's more so anti-mandate. So what are your thoughts on Kyrie? Well, not, we're eliminating all basketball, by the way. Nothing too related to that, just more so about the stance he's saying he's taking. And also, is his stance clear to you? Like, do you get where he's coming from?
I haven't got Kyrie ever since he left the Cavaliers, honestly speaking. I haven't understood him since the flat earth stuff. To me, I think he's a space cadet. I think it's kind of disingenuous the way he's going about it, because if you're anti-mandatory, all right, so you're saying don't put your kids in school and don't get MMR, or when they get, you know, when they're born, you know, you're anti-MMR because that's mandated, especially if you go to school. I think he's coming up and saying, okay, well, what can I come up with to say, why am I against? You know, a lot of people who are anti-mandatory, hey, Supreme Court, I think it was back in like early 1900s when they said about the smallpox, things like Jacobson court case, and saying like, yeah, you know, okay, we can mandate it if, you know, it's going to affect someone else's freedom. Like, your freedom only goes as far as, you know, the other person's, you know, noses.
Right.
So
right.
If looking at mandatory, like, hey, if it's needed, then it's needed. But his stance and him just, you know, shifting waters, personally, I really think he's a rebel without a cause. And I think that he's just out there and he doesn't know what he's doing, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So, Mike.
So,
Yo, you're from New York, so I think you can give a little bit of a different spin because you know a little bit more about what's going on the grounds there. What do you think about the Kyrie situation in Brooklyn?
I mean, one, I think it just leads back to the whole COVID situation in general. As far as nothing makes sense. And I don't think he should be. I mean, I see his cause. I think he said he's not against the vaccine because probably other powers that be, you probably got to say that to be politically correct. But at the end of the day, he doesn't want to take it, and it should be his right not to take it or not. It hasn't been enough evidence that says, okay, the vaccine is 100%. I mean, nothing's going to be 100%, but you've seen those breakthrough cases. And then things just don't make sense. So Jay Williams pointed out the other day on Instagram, how is it that you have, I think they played a game, I forgot from which team they played, but a player from another team, which was clear, he stated he's unvaccinated, is widely known he's unvaccinated, was able to come into the garden and play a basketball game. These rules don't make any sense
That
at
doesn't.
all,
I feel
you
you, man.
know?
Right.
That
Yeah,
definitely.
so it just doesn't make any sense at all. So when you have these inconsistencies, then you're gonna have somebody say, "Hey, I don't feel comfortable taking this. I feel there's no need to take it. It's my body, and I decide not to." You know, treat it like a flu shot. Like this, nobody. I'm not against the flu shot, but I've never taken a flu shot before. Anybody that chooses to take one, go ahead and take it. But if I don't want to take it, you know, I don't feel like I. For the simple reason of it's my body and I don't want that in my body, that should be a decision that I make.
I feel you on that. Then it gets into like, then we say, okay, well, should we make it to where it's not mandatory to take, you know, mumps, measles and rubella shots? And so then we go back to like what the hardcore anti-vax people, because they've been saying, yeah, like none of that. We don't want anything mandatory. So like, where do we get, especially when we're looking at public health and public safety? Like, where does that lead us back to? Because that can lead us back to like, hey, early 1800s and saying that, you know, all right, then don't take anything. And then we have public health issues, and then people can't work, and then the economy's not going, and then people getting sick. And, you know, hey, okay, no polio vaccination is, you know, bad and everything, you know? So, I mean,
But
I feel what you're saying.
you two are in the school system, but there are alternatives for parents that don't want their kids, especially their sons, to take, what is it, the MMR and all that, because that's been linked to what's it been linked to? Autism. Exactly. And there are alternative schools. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. So there are options in that space.
Stay home. Like, I don't,
There's
you
no
know what I mean? Yeah,
alternative.
so
oh yeah,
There's schools that don't require that.
yeah, because if that's the case, then like if you go to, let's say, Six Flags, the water park and everything, you don't get vaccinated, then it's like, yo, man, you got to stay somewhere else. Because, you know, even because, of course, the vaccination isn't 100%. Like, I remember when I was a nurse and I was living in Ghana for about 4 months, you know, my homeboy, he got typhoid, even though we got vaccination for typhoid, but he was just all out eating all the street food and everything. Like, I got street food, but he was to the fullest, to the max. And he got typhoid, you know?
Yo,
That's crazy.
I forgot that you were a nurse, bro. You need to come out with a biography, because an autobiography, because I
Man, a
forgot about
guy,
that.
million lives right here.
I forgot about that part. And you lived, yeah, in your short stint in Africa. You know what? We might have to bring you back for that. All right, but sum it up. Yeah, what's to say? Your right to swing your arms ends where my nose is, or what's that? You know, I think that kind of that's what really has come to the forefront of all this, is just like, okay, you have rights, but there are limits of it. You know what I mean? And the other part is that, you know, let's have some consistencies. You know, there's 16,000 police officers in New York, and the vaccine isn't mandatory for them. But
Exactly.
yet, you know, on this side, it's mandatory for basketball players. So it's
And
just like, yeah, so it's just
as
like
Brother
it's,
Mike was saying, it's like it's inconsistent, as you're saying, and I feel you on that. Because if you have a classroom that's inconsistent, kids are gonna call that out. It's like, yo, man, like it's just discombobulated, and what's going on? And I feel people who are vaccine hesitant, because I was hesitant. As I say, I'm like, I'm gonna wait to see if people turn to zombies first. You know, first, I am legend. You know, I got my dog and my guns ready. But you know, I can definitely feel people who are vaccine hesitant. And then like with Kyrie, if he's, you know, a lot of us were hesitant because of, you know, a history of what's happened, whether it be disease, et cetera. And I was like, okay, well, if you're hesitant because it's coming from a certain group, let's say the U.S. government, then would you take it if it's from Indonesia, or take it from Iran, or take it from, != װ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ you know, UK or whatever, you know. So is it the deliver or is it the actual, you know, truth serum or the vaccination that you're hesitant against?
Yeah, actually, that brings me to my next point. So we know, like, our community has a lot of had a lot of hesitancy, rightfully so. I mean, we don't have to go back to that study, the Tuskegee study. We could look at modern medicine up until, was it 2014? You know, edit, because I don't remember the exact year. But, you know, they had doctors that thought Black people felt pain less. You know what I mean? And then we look at what's happening in maternity wards to Black women.
Yeah,
you know, they're asking for extra meds and they're saying no. You know, like there's this presumption that, oh, they might be become addicted to it. And what was the last? There's another one, there's a crazy study on the death rates with giving pregnancy. And it was just we don't have to look that far to see the inconsistencies between others and the Black community in the medical community. So the question that came up was, you know, with, I don't want to call them anti-vaxxers, but people that are hesitant to take the vaccine due to what's happened to, you know, our community in America, would they be open to going up to overseas to take it? So that's a question I would think that a lot of people, you know what, we should probably chop this up and ask that independently. But Mike, what do you think about that? If that was an option, do you think people would take them up on it?
I don't think so. I think people just don't want to take the vaccine. I mean, when you talk to people, I didn't want to take the vaccine at all. It don't matter. I had the option in Abu Dhabi, all these other vaccines that are out here. And then even in the U.S., I had the option. And I took it up to the last moment because literally every place is just requiring it. And all of my family's vaccinated. So I was like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with my family effort. So let's go. Get me vaccinated. Make this easier. Right. You know, so that was my whole thing. But I really, if I had a choice and if it wasn't required in so many places, I probably wouldn't have taken it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think for me, one of the things was that, you know, it was something that wasn't being discriminated against. Like everywhere in the world was offering the same shot. So that kind of put me a bit at ease. And in Canada, we had some cases where the rich neighborhoods, I'm not going to say what community, the rich neighborhoods, they were running to get the vaccine while communities of color, they had the most hesitancy, and then COVID started to kind of ravage those neighborhoods. So I thought that was very telling in itself, as well as we had a billionaire that went up to the northern Canada, faked that they worked at a motel to get the vaccine when it was first came out. So it was a casino owner from BC. He resigned, but he's resigning with sitting on his millions. But I mean, after hearing that kind of stuff, it was just like, man, I don't want to make this a thing where other people have access to something that my community isn't taking advantage of. So that's why I encourage my family to get it, and I got it myself.
Yeah. I see it as this, like, especially like when people link vaccination to autism, and I say that, okay, well, autism mostly affects young white boys, right? White males. And I'm thinking, okay, well, especially in our community, if the white supremacist structure, as we see it, if they're so gung-ho of making sure to propagate their own community and wealth, why would they give a vaccination to poison their own youth, right? It's like, to me, it's like, yo, and especially as a nurse, it doesn't make sense. Like I said, when I was in Ghana, I was at a refugee camp. The Bujumbura refugee camp was mostly Liberians that were there from the wars that happened, few Sierra Leoneans, and helping out youth to try to teach the rest of the camp about, you know, HIV. That was at the era of, like, you know, you know, we had like the ABC method, abstinence, be faithful, wear a condom, methods of anti-HIV. And people would say, yeah, AIDS stands for America's invention to discourage sex, right? And so, like, you know, wow. Me, I love, you know, I'm a hip hop fan from, like, you know, 90s and 80s, right? So, like, when it comes to conspiracy theories, like, yo, you know, you listen to Killer Priest, Wu-Tang, you listen to public, you're going to hear a lot of conspiracy theories, right? I like delving into it, especially as a historian, because it tells you, like, what's the zeitgeist, what are people thinking? But I would say, like, hey, I wouldn't go into back and forth, because you can't really go back and forth with that, right? And the band played on Matthew Modine's character, he said, hey, we don't have to worry about, you know, if the house is on fire, we shouldn't have to sit around and say, okay, well, how the fire start and everything. Our main focus is putting the fire out, right? So I try to I put that on them and say, hey, I'm gonna skip that over right now. Let's go. I'm gonna put the fire out, you know? But sometimes it's hard to put the fire out if people say still stuck on how did it start and like, nah, I'm not gonna go back in. I'm not gonna do this. So, I mean, hey, we're dying at a disproportionate rate. So we're gonna have to say at least saying, hey, mask and vitamin D. I try to make sure on different groups I'm on, at least trying to get people to take vitamin D because that really helps out our immune system and also eating better foods. So if you're not gonna take the vaccine, cool. Hey, what's ways to naturally inoculate ourselves to where that we can still prosper?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I don't like is that we had the opportunity to really target the underlying conditions that people have, you know. So, you know, obviously I'm here to, you know, say I take the vaccine, but also let's take care of those things that are preventable. How do we tackle diabetes within our household? How do we eat better? You know, how do we build up our natural immunity through the foods? And that's a conversation that, you know, health ministers aren't touching. And I think that this could have been a pivotal time in history where as a globe, you know, we started having a closer look at the impact that the food eats. All right, so let's get into it, Jason. All right, so first, you know, I met you in Abu Dhabi, and let's get into the decision as to why you decided to move to Abu Dhabi.
Oh, man. So when I was teaching history at a middle school in Austin, my homeboy, he went out to Bahrain. So I was like, yo, I want to go out back overseas and everything. So I started scouring the internet, Kuwait, had an interview, didn't get it. And I was looking again and I saw Abu Dhabi and Sheikh Zayed. And first thing I thought of Abu Dhabi was like, yo, Nirmal was supposed to be sent there by Garfield to Abu Dhabi in a box, right? I'm like, all right, you know, let's see what it's about. You know, and I was just stuck from there. Like, you know,
you're talking about the cartoon?
Yeah, man, on Garfield. Garfield and Friends on Saturday. He says, you know, shut up, Nirmal. I'm going to put you in a box and send you to Abu Dhabi, right? And everything comes full circle, man. Who says that cartoons and TV can't feed the brain, man? It was destiny. I was like, yo, this is destiny right here. So I was reading about it, and, you know, I was enamored by Sheikh Zayed, still am. That's why I named my son Zayed. And, you know, talking about how they're trying to transition from a oil-based or resource-based economy to an open, innovative based economy. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do in the U.S., especially in Texas and in schools that need more help. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go over there, learn some stuff, and then come back. So, you know, we said, my wife and I was like, hey, you know, she's like, I don't know, I want to go. And I said, hey, babe, you know, they got makeup, they got Mac, they got Dubai's out there. She's like, all right, I'm sold, let's go. I bet.
That's so, the key, Dubai's right there.
That was the key, man. She's like, what, Dubai? Oh, okay, let's go. So, you know, we said 2 years, 2 years turns to 7 years. So that's what got us out there.
Right. Beautiful. And so then, right. So funny you mentioned your wife. So you and your wife, I know we're able to start up some businesses that you're able to parlay into some things back home. You want to touch on that briefly? Because I know a lot of people that listen in, they do things overseas, but they don't realize that, you know, it could be the foundation for something that can take you, you know, take it beyond when you move back home. So you want to talk
even,
about that?
Wait, even before we get to that, what was the decision? When did you move back home, actually?
July 18, 2017. So we left August 15, 2010, came back July 18, 2017.
Okay, so walk us through that process of why did you, it was your choice, not, was it lost, like walk us through that process of going back home.
Yeah, man, like I know in December, I believe it was December 2014, that's when they made that OPEC decision when trying to withhold a lot of oil, and that messed up a lot of the economy out there. And I'd say it was actually around 2015. Before my mother passed, because I was a part of, you know, that journey of leaving. But my wife and I, we were watching The Life of Pi. And in that movie, there was a portion where he was on this island. He thought it was really great, but he's like, you know, something's not right. And he left off from that island, and he found out that, hey, if he would have stayed on there, he would have drowned. And there was like some nasty stuff in the water and everything. And I was telling my wife, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, here, like, it just feels like we can't stay here. Then she was like, you know, it reminds me of that part in the Odyssey. And the beginning of the Odyssey, remember when Odysseus and his crew were in the island of Ogygia? And they were there with, Calypso. And I remember in 10th grade, it took me back to 10th grade, I asked my coach, he was an English teacher at the time, I said, coach, you know, what's a nymph? He goes, I don't know, Hayes, you're going to have to look that up. I looked it up. I was like, yo, a nymph? yo, these dudes getting fed and there's nymphs over here. Like, why would you want to leave the island, coach? He goes, you know what? Sometimes, Hayes, you just have that feeling, wanting to go home. And when my wife talked about that, it just hit both of us. And we looked at each other like, yeah, it's time to go home. So let's come up with an exit plan, a strategy of going back home. So that's weird how, like, sometimes those classic books that you read and you're like, nah, we got to read this. They actually come back into your life. And like, okay, now I understand why this is a classic. And we just had that feeling of, yeah, we had to go back home. And unfortunately, later that year, my mother passed away. So I was like, okay, you know, it's definitely time to unwind and go back home. So 2016, 2017 was our last year. And, you know, made our exit plan, say, all right, you know, when we go back home, we're not going to go back to Austin. Didn't want to go back. Moved down to Dallas-Fort Worth area, which where I am right now in Arlington. And, you know, been able to transition our businesses and going back home.
Yeah. So while you're in Abu Dhabi, how did you figure out what exactly you wanted to do that could carry you over to back home? Because you didn't start working right away, right? When you moved back to America?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ground running, man. Started working. Okay. I went back in the classroom. But also when I was overseas, I started my book, The Art of Teaching. Mainly because, you know, I had a tutoring business while I was out there teaching with the Abu Dhabi Education Council. And being able to interact with these students from all over the world, I used the same type of tactics that I did while in the U.S. My second year teaching, my team leader said, hey, you know, we're going to read The Art of War. We're going to try to implement that in the classroom. You know, I ate that up and I was like, you know what? All right, let me implement all these different things. And then when I went overseas, I said, you know, let me implement the same thing. So I see it as like a seasoning ground slash, you know, it's a, you know, it's like a experimental place. So I did the same type of tactics. I'm like, all right, this worked. You know, the kids loved it. They, you know, still got contact with them. So, all right, I got to make this into a book to where the other teachers can utilize that to make, you know, the greatest or the best classroom environment that they can. So while I was overseas, as I said, working with, you know, different businesses, you know, working with the students and with my background of doing like tutoring and then putting that back into the U.S. And so when I came back in the U.S., I didn't have a car. And I remember on our group, you said, hey, man, you know, Hayes, why don't you try Turo? It's pretty dope. It's like the Airbnb for cars. I'm like, all right, let me try that. And I was like, yo, man, this is dope. And I asked the person that we had like a 2013 Mazda 2, the Skittle Green. And I was just asking all these questions. Said, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm thinking about getting another car. I'm like, hmm. So I started that in, was it October 2017? And each year with my students, whether it be I'm teaching English, history, we do that show with Trump that he used to have?
Apprentice.
We used to do like apprentice type style, like, hey, you're going to do a project. Here's your business. All right, talk about what it is and why I need to invest, almost like Shark Tank as well. And so usually I go first and I said, hey, you know what? I have a car and, you know, I'm going to use Airbnb or cars like Turo, turn this into a business. And my students were kind of egging me on. It's like, well, you know, you tell us, you know, you need to step up and do stuff. And why don't you do that business? I'm like, all right, well, let me try it. So one car led into two because I had a connection of a guy that went to different auctions down in Austin. So my first car I got was a 2011 Sonata. Second car I got was a 2012 Yaris. And it was just, you know, like hotcakes going out there. So I'm like, all right, let me turn this into a business based on what I'm able to do, based on like, you know, the different styles that I do when it comes to customer service in the classroom, because the classroom and the school itself, it has to have like a customer service based type mentality. And I used to do like a presentation for other schools and say, hey, if we have a customer service based type of classroom and also school, then our main constituents or our clients, our students and our parents, they're going to be welcoming into the classroom and not having like an antagonistic type of setup. So just using that information, put into, you know, renting out cars, same thing, then bam, helping out businesses.
Yeah. So
I know
Mike was actually looking into a car rental business. How's that going, Mike, in Abu Dhabi? I know you're checking.
So in Abu Dhabi, there's some restrictions. So there's Turo out here, but it's not like any, it's kind of like Uber out here. Like there's Uber out here, but it's not like I can just do a Uber or something like that. They have special, it's a special way to get in. Like it's actually a real job. It's not like, let me put my car in Uber and let me actually drive people around. There's some restrictions on that. The same with Turo. I actually tried to put my car on Turo and they were saying that it's not allowed in this area. But if you go to Toro, they have Lamborghinis and everything like that. So I think it has to be sanctioned and regulated out here. So, and I think in New York, I tried in New York as well. New York doesn't allow Toro. So there's certain restrictions and, right. You know, you're in a place where it's pretty open. So that's cool.
All right. So Jason, thanks for break. Oh yeah. I should. It was my 10% finder's fee. Yeah. You know, I introduced
wait, so hold on. So wait, can you, we got to break that down even more. So
yes.
Toro. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when it comes to Toro, I guess you purchased a car. It was a used car. Did you do research on what are the cars that, you know, go and where can you find that kind of data, things like that? Because every time I hear about Toro, what I'm hearing on Instagram and all that, everybody's talking about luxury cars. Own a Lamborghini, own a Bentley. You're going to make that back, wrap it in a lime green or orange, and that's going to sell, whatever. But you, the cars you name, they're like the everyday common cars. And I actually never heard of Toro being used for, you say you didn't have a car when you first moved as being an everyday type of car. I thought people would get into Toro as, I want to flex, I want to stunt, let me run a Lamborghini from Toro. Yeah, but you came at it from a different aspect. So if you could break that down, you know, where'd you find the research or was it just luck?
Man, with me, I love research. Like with Sham, like when we talk about doing like fantasy draft and everything, as a historian, I love the research, looking up information. So when he told me about Toro, I'm like, all right, let me get all this information about it. And, you know, see what I need to do. And when getting into business, saying, okay, well, what's the best bang for my buck? And I talk about this in the course that I'm selling on, you know, headnerdincharge.com. It's saying that, hey, there's different niches, right? In my wife's business, she has a class called DNA Method, Dominate Your Niche Authentically. It's saying that once you find your niche and then go about and addressing whatever you need to do with your niche based on like who you connect with and who you are as an identity. So like main, hey, blue collar scholar to the fullest, and saying that, hey, with the people I'm looking at, you know, they don't have to flex. They just need a car going from point A to point B. And so like, when you look at my course, it'll talk to you about, okay, why with a certain niche that I'm going after would be the right one to go to. Because if you look at, let's say electric cars is great, especially like, you know, you're renting, you know, $150, $200 a day. At the same time, hey, when you got people, certain people that have like a renter's mentality, you know, they'll cough on your car wrong, or, you know, they'll leave crumbs in the car, or, you know, you'll be scratches here and there. Because once you look at, you know, human nature and look at what they call in economics, the tragedy of the commons, where that if you have a rental, people are like, oh, I don't care, I'll smoke in it. Even though you said don't smoke in it, that right there is pretty, that's your time. And that's anxiety right there. I call that's heart time right there. Like you're gonna be like, yo, okay, is this person gonna take care of the car, or, you know, are people gonna be haters and gonna like, you know, do something to it? So you do have to look at that, and also look at the insurance and look at all those costs as well. So even though it may look good, and also look at the economics, saying that, hey, if there is a downturn in the economy, all right, then are there going to be as many people that want to flex and have those elastic goods, which would be a luxury good like, you know, renting out a Bentley or anything else? So if me personally looking at the best bang for my buck, so I've gone about, you know, targeting the niche that I like and the one that I know I need to, and then also not having to get, you know, cars that are, you know, really big and fancy and everything. Most people like, hey, I just need a car going to point A to point B. So that's the niche I'm getting into. But once again, in my course, I say, if you're going to go for the luxury niche, look at these things, these issues, these risks, and try to mitigate them or even get rid of them and totally if you can.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you got the course, but you also been able to help some people out with their own franchise. You want to walk us
through? Wait, hold on. Before we get into that, though, mm-hmm. as I understand, you then branched out from Toro and now you have your own thing separate.
Correct.
Okay.
Hold up, Mike, that's where my question's going. Jesus.
Oh, okay, because I thought because you know you like to skip over things.
Slow down, Charlemagne. Like, you can't have all the spotlight. Jeez.
I thought you was gonna skip over it.
All right, so anyways, Jason, so you mentioned the course, but you also started franchising out. What's the actual name? It's
rentmyride.app.
Rent My Ride. So you started branching out. So you have some branches opening up in Atlanta. Just walk us through maybe just the last person that you helped. How did they find you, and how did they actually make the commitment to actually taking on the franchise?
Yeah. So he's actually an introduction from my wife's business, and he actually does public speaking. And so he, you know, met him up and everything. He's had to stay over the house when he did like public speaking in Dallas. And I'm playing, you know, when I met him, I had like maybe two cars, you know. So like 2 years later, he comes back. He's like, yo, man, you got 15, 16 cars? I'm like, yeah, man. He said, man, I need to get into that. So, all right, running through the steps and everything. I'm like, all right, then. So you know what? I'm all about win-win. So I said, I know you're on Turo. Hey, let me guide you through what you're going on Turo and making sure, like, as I'm developing the course, that what I'm telling you, we'll test it out. All right, make sure that that test of the experiment is good. All right, then make sure add that in the course and go from there. And so he has about five cars right now. And so he's like, hey, you know what? With Turo, it's going slow. And I'm like, hey, I have my own branch. I have my own group. I have my own website. Whenever you're ready, let's do it. He's like, man, I'm born ready. Let's do this. So, you know, hey, chopped it up, make sure we have our contract. And then, you know, we're making a tour that we're trying to branch out. He's part of, you know, not saying that he's like a vessel or anything like that. No, like we're making a tour that we're a partnership. And then as we branch out, he can help out with, you know, teaching and helping people out with what you need to do. Now, Turo, you know, of course, there's readings, but there's not like a professional development out when it comes to Turo. Like they actually have some good information out there, but you have to go and look for it, just like I did at the very beginning. For example, they have like a car calculator saying, okay, what kind of car you have, how much you may be able to get, but it's all about the local economy, right? And understanding that local economy, how to do the research in a local economy to make sure that you can get the best bang for your buck for your car rentals. And that's, once again, that's a large portion of the course itself, and doing the research. Research is key. I mean, what? Knowledge is the new gold. Knowledge is the new information. That's why Facebook and all these other groups, they sell our information. And people have to understand that that information is out there. It's Google is free. And you can just do a world of hurt of just doing research and then go about and doing what you... I was a kid. I was a kid that read the book right before we played Street Fighter. To whoop you up on like, all these different types of moves and everything. Like we had to put a rule like, okay, no one read the book. Hayes, don't read the book. Like, all right, man. All right, but I'm gonna find out how you function. I'm gonna just counter that mug, man. But yeah. And that's how we go about, and then trying to branch out into Austin with the guy that actually helped me out in buying the first car. He's actually gonna go on as well. So trying to branch out with people I know of that definitely want to you know, put in the work and so also make it best for us.
And your reasoning for leaving Turo, is it ownership, or you're like, the fees are too high, or you just said, I want to make something better?
Yeah, want to make something better. Fees, it's a middleman, and really they're not there to help out. Like, I remember I got one car that was stolen, had to learn from that, and called Turo. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, have you called police? Like, of course I called police. But have you? Yeah. I'm like, yo, man, like, what are you doing to help me out? I'm like, you know what? I can do this on my own, you know? So I just got to step in. I'm like, yeah, I can just do this on my own. As I said, local. And also the pie is so big. It's not like Turo goes, you know, going to be in their diabolical schemes. Like, okay, we got to get this Rent My Ride. Yeah. They're going to be taking all of our stuff. Yeah. Like, no. And then also the way that I can have my own prices, because they have sometimes like price ceilings just to make sure that they look good. And then also I think that they have an algorithm as well. If I'm independent, but yet I'm still on Turo, and if they only take 10% of my income, and but yet they take maybe 30 or 40 or 50% of other people's income, more than likely they're going to put their cars first when it comes to a search. I don't doubt that. I can see, hey, it's money, it's a business. So I just need to make sure, hey, if I don't like it, make my own. And that's my philosophy. That's what my grandparents, my parents told me. If you don't like it, why don't you make a better one? Do your own. I'm like, all right.
My question, you're going to blow me out the water with this one. Did you develop the app too?
Yes,
or you outsourced?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
no.
Man.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, nah, this dude is yo, bionic man out here. Hold up. Yo, nurse, teacher, coder. Nah,
we didn't.
Hold on.
There you go. We didn't even talk too much about the consultancy that you were doing, but also those books behind you, Jason. But all right, let's keep this conversation going. Mike,
we're going to have to talk offline because I'm in tech too. So I'm like, yo, you're doing it all right now.
All right.
I like this. All right.
All right, Mike.
Nice.
Mike, you got one more question for Jason?
Nah. That was my question, man. You can do it all.
All right. Hey, Jason, I see your books right behind you. Do you mind just grabbing them so everyone can see the copy real quick?
Yes. The Art of Teaching. Our teaching right here, you know, the five elements to inspire. Right. And it could be for classrooms. It could be for businesses, because as we see more and more, I've been trying to tell teachers like, hey, teachers are needed, not just in the classroom, but also in the boardroom and other businesses, because the things that we do is HR based. Things that we do are human relations. It's all these different things that we're doing. It's in the classroom because we're in a knowledge-based economy. If we're in a knowledge-based economy, who best to help out in a knowledge-based economy should be teachers. So in The Art of War, Sun Tzu, he talks about the five elements of warfare to be able to understand and be able to win in war. You know, he said the Tao, which is like the reason, the why that you're fighting. You know, if you don't have a reason to fight, you're almost like the Russians in Afghanistan, or if you're the U.S. in Vietnam or U.S. in Afghanistan. If you don't have a reason to fight, then, okay, well, what are you there for? You can have the best weaponry and everything. You have the best computers in the classroom. If you don't establish a why, saying, hey, I'm a teacher, here's why I am teaching. Here's my goal. Here's my vision of what you have. You have to have a vision. And then they buy into that vision. The parents, if you get the parents and the students to buy into that vision, you'll not have issues when it comes to classroom behavior. You won't have parents to push back. They're like, nah, this dude has a vision. He wants my kid to be a grown adult. I let him do whatever. And I remember back in Abu Dhabi, parents were like, yes, beat him. You know, I did have issues with parents because I say, hey, I'll tell them in Arabic. I'll tell them in English, Spanish. Like, yo, this is why I'm teaching. This is why I want for your kid. This is who your kid is. I love him. He's doing this, going from there. And then it talks about, of course, the leader or the leader, who the leader is. Like, who are you as a professional? Are you a professional that can take risks? Are you a professional that is going to, keep on learning? Are you a professional that, you know, dresses to the T? All these things, like your brand as a teacher or your brand as a leader is going to be key, just like your brand as a general. What made a general like, Truman really dope is that, you know, hey, he can talk to, you know, the high ups. He can talk to the low people. And he could just, you know, people, he was a magnetic type of presence and everything. And then you look at the discipline in the classroom. You know, if you look at the discipline in the classroom, like as in, if they are they rewarded for doing good? Are they disciplined for doing bad? And then getting to the environment and also the environment of the classroom and also the geography of the classroom. Just like in warfare, you have to know the geography and the climate. If not, you'll be like the Vietnamese in Dien Bien Phu, where, you know, geography just didn't do you well. Or you'd be like, you know, Hitler or Napoleon in Russia when you're in the cold, the Russian cold, and you just totally messed up because you weren't prepared for that. So the same thing, what's the psychological climate of the classroom in the school? What's the, you know, the physical climate of the classroom? Is it too hot, too cold? The geography, how you set up, you know, the desks and everything. You know, right. Are you fall off in a corner and you separate yourself towards like, okay, I'm high and mighty, I'm in my corner, I'm unapproachable. Are you in the midst of things? Are you walking around and things of that nature? So I talk about in the book, and that's something also in, you know, small businesses, the big businesses do the same thing when it comes to their clients, when it comes to the people working with them, based on the art of war and the art of teaching.
So
everybody picked that up. I'm about to pick it up. Is it on Amazon? Where can we get that?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. If you go on my website, my other website, HayesJason.com, it's on there and it has a link. It's on Amazon. You know, it's self-published. And so, you know, that's where it's out there and it helps you out. And it has like a portion where you can write about, you know, what you learned from it and how can you implement. Because the key thing with me is about how to implement different aspects of the classroom or whatever you're reading. And like one portion I talked about, you know, is what they call frugal innovation. Well, a lot of people say, okay, well, our schools don't have, you know, technology, or our schools don't have sometimes some of the best things, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So right. Sometimes you can actually use that spin for yourself, saying we can be even more creative when we have less. When they say sometimes less is more. So like, you know, you can go about and being innovative and figure out those ways to say, okay, well, yeah, we're at a disadvantage. You know, in warfare, we're at a disadvantage. But how can we spin that to make it to where that we can have the underdog mentality, or we can use things that other people, our enemies, won't figure out and implement that into our classroom in order to defeat ignorance, injustice, and intolerance.
Yes. So for all my teachers out there that are having some problems with their admin, I think the best way to take a subtle jab at them is to give them this book for Christmas. All right. We're going to plug that. Same thing with parents out there. You don't think that your teachers, you know, you're doing a great job. Just pass this book off to them. You know what I mean? And ask them how it is in 2 months' time. All right, Jason, one more time at your socials. Where can people hit you up?
Wait, hold on. I got now the questions coming back. All right. So, yeah, we got
Mike, we got to talk offline, bro. All right.
I know somebody's going to hit me like, yo, you ain't asked this. You ain't. All right. So, your ride app is, what is it? It's My Ride or Rent my ride. All right.
My ride.
So what's your idea? Where are you going with this? Are you thinking eventually to go public or get it to a space like that? Or, and I ask this because a lot of times you see, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned earlier that you're bringing on your friend as a partner and all that. Because a lot of times I think in our community, Black and Latino community, we're fixated on this mom and pop style mentality, where we never try to take it to another level. And everyone always tries to create a business where it's, I'm the CEO, I'm the boss. But I think if we all partner together and make it bigger and eventually get it to, you know, on the stock market, you know, like that, like we could do some real damage, and it could, you know, it could leave a legacy, you know? That's so what's your vision for something like that?
God willing, man. Yes. Make it to that level and make it to where that, you know, we're in different cities and we function as like Voltron in that interdependent type of space, to where that, hey, my homeboy that's in Atlanta, he's running that area. My other homeboy that's in Houston running that area. And hopefully my homeboy that's in Toronto, he's running that area as well, to where that, you know, we'd be able to, you know, have something that is on par with Enterprise, that's on par with the Turo, even better. Because, you know, with Turo, with Enterprise, I see like, okay, you know what? They need to definitely fix this up. I don't know if they're going to. I want it to where that, hey, it's a Black-owned business that we're able to go about in different areas and then serve communities that, and I said, well, that is my niche. And I said, the blue-collar scholar, I want it to where that functions into helping out into that space.
All right, Abu Dhabi and Saudi too, man. Go ahead. That's all.
Hey, you know what? You know, I was about to wrap it up, but now... You know, you just opened up a conversation that I was actually having with Mike earlier. So I shared with Mike a tweet. I'm actually going to just read it from you. In less than a year's time, we've witnessed Oprah sell her share of OWN to Disney. Lil Wayne sells his master's Universal. Tina Turner sells her catalog to BMG. Jay-Z sells Tidal, Mike. Jay-Z sells Tidal to Jack Dorsey and half of Spades to the Louis Vuitton Holding Company, not to mention Swiss Beats and Timbaland selling Verses to Thriller. So my issue, actually, Mike, you want to quickly, very quickly talk about your position on this, on that tweet?
All right. So my position, I don't feel that there's anything wrong with that, because that's what you're in business for. Mm-hmm. For example, with your company right now, if you're like, hey guys, I'm about to start taking, you know, funding and all that, but I want it where we can win, instead of taking it from big corporations or whatever, start with people, you know, family, friends, where we're getting at a certain share price and all that. Once you get to a certain level, then you'll take the, okay, Tesla, I need this big check for, you know, 2% or whatever. Mm-hmm. Us as your shareholders, we're not going to make money in the beginning stage or anything like that. We cash out when you go public or when you sell to a bigger company. If Hertz wants to buy you out, that's when we're going to make money. So I feel like it's all a part of business, where if you keep it to yourself and or you keep it within, and yeah, it's Black owned and all that, but that does nothing for your investors, for your shareholders. So I just think it's all a part of business. And if you're able to take it to a level where another corporate America company wants to buy your business, we could do this again. And you see these serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
nobody
yeah.
makes one company and that's it. Like Jay-Z's going to be all right. He's going to come out with another company for us and do the same thing. You know?
Yeah. All right. Now, Jason, before you give your opinion, so my angle was a lot different than Mike. Mike was strictly, as you can tell by his response, looking at it from a bottom line numbers perspective. And for me, I was looking at it from a different angle as to how the Black dollar circulated. You know, when we spend, you know, it's 7 minutes before it's outside of our community, but that's why we have these businesses here. But also to help support Black initiatives, you know about Michael Jordan and Spike Lee movies, you know about all the ways that, you know, as a community, we're able to help each other build so that we can put someone else on. And when we go and sell these companies, They don't care about the Black community after that. Then it becomes a bottom line, a dollar thing. So that's one angle of it. And two, look at all these popular corporations. Several of them are multi-generational. So year after year after year, they're putting their own in position to keep the legacy going. When we go and sell a title before, you know, Blue is 10 years old, what does that really mean? You know what I mean? So there's that angle too. And third is just the angle of having heroes. So, you know, I really don't like the idea of only looking to sport, to athletes and entertainers, you know, but what about the Bob Johnsons of the world, right? So those people that we can actually look up to, you know, they're so limited in our community. And the second that, okay, I hit a $2 million evaluation, oh, I'm out. You know what I mean? Not to sneeze at 2 million, but why not hold it till it's 12? You know, why not hold it till it's 20? You know, and like that's establishing the blueprint for people coming up. So that's my angle. You're playing referee right now. How do you feel about it?
You know, because I really wrestle with both aspects, right? Because it's saying like, hey, as a business owner, yeah, if they offer me, you know, a million or something, like, yo, that's it's hard to sneeze at, right? Because money talks. Exactly. BS runs a marathon. And at the same time, saying that, hey, well, where's it to where we'll be able to have those, you know, black entities to where that we can have that money? Because when, you know, the capitalist vultures come in, and they just take it and then they'll spin it, and it's like, okay, well, where are we going to go at? But yet, yeah, we do have those serial entrepreneurs saying like, all right, you know, I'm going to take that, you know, however many that you made, I'm going to make something else, and then hopefully make it to where that it keeps on going. But let's say if they keep on buying up, at least, you know, I really respect Snap. And when Snapchat, you know, they sneezed at what was like $4 billion that Facebook offered them. And they're like, nah, F that. We can do it on our own. And once again, you know, hey, they're going to come after you once you do it. That's what the gangsters do, right? Like, yo, you step in the ring or get under the wing, right? And so, yo, they step in the ring. And so, like, as long as we have a strong and loyal customer base that are thinking about this, saying that, hey, we're looking at legacy, then it would be good to maintain and keep, you know, it black owned or Latino owned or whatever it may be. But if we see that there's no loyalty, you know, within the consumer base, and people will go, you know, wherever. So then it's going to make, you know, owners go to say, hey, well, you know, hey, I might as well cash out right now, because they are going to come after me. They're going to make, you know, Snapchat's going to make, or Facebook going to make an Instagram that's going to be like Snapchat or all these other different things that are come after me. So we as consumers, we have to have that conversation as consumers and also producers within our communities to say, hey, are you going to ride with me? Because if you don't ride with me, then I'm going to lose money in the end, and you guys will still probably get a cheaper product in the back end and everything. So, you know, hey, I want to make sure that, hey, if I do have that strong base, then I'm gonna stick it to the man or the corporate America, and we're going to ride with each other. But it depends on, you know, what do consumers feel, and are they able to, you know, economically or financially support you?
All right, so hey, Mike, any last questions?
No, I'm good. We might have to do a part two, because I want to deep dive into some of your businesses, but no, I'm good right now.
All right, man. Yeah, Jason, as always, appreciate you, man. And like, you know, going back to our own little community, our own little brotherhood that we established in Abu Dhabi, I'm glad that we're keeping the connection close. Shout out to Ron, Steve, Justin, you know, and one of the things actually, you know, if we do have a part two, we could talk about our own ventures in terms of wanting to collaborate to do some real estate together, not necessarily to become rich, just to show everyone the blueprint. You know, it doesn't take much for a couple guys to get together, even internationally, to make it work. Right. So
that'd be dope.
That'd be a good conversation. Who knows? Maybe Mike will want to jump on board as well.
Yeah, include me. So it's all great.
I tell y'all and tell the audience out there, when people say, I'm going to do me, it's all about me. Yo, we need to do we. And as you look at the seven habits of highly effective people, it's talking about interdependence. We think that independence is the highest. It's interdependence. That's the highest goal right there, when we're working collectively. And that's what's needed. Not saying communists collectively. You know, now, you know, Mao Zedong is saying that, hey, man, like, we get to the higher level whenever we're able to, you know, work to where that we both win. There's win-win situations that are out there. Just have to look for it and look hard for it.
All right. One more time. Can you list your websites?
Yes, sir. Man, just jasonhayes.com or the head nerd in charge. Also hayesjason.com. If you want to look at me on Instagram or also on TikTok, I'm going to put some more stuff out there on TikTok. The head nerd in charge.
Right. That's on IG, the head nerd in charge, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Gotcha. And then the app is available in the Play Store and on iTunes. Apple. I don't even know. What do you guys got over there at Apple? I only know the Play Store. Where's that?
The Apple Store. The
Apple Store. All right, there you go. That was my little dig at Apple. All right. So, all right, man. Much appreciated, Jason. I know you and Mike are going to talk offline. I'll make sure I connect you guys with WhatsApp. All right. Black Sam Podcast, Season 3.
Thank you.
Jason, I know the question is going to keep flooding in, so maybe we'll do a live or something on IG.
Man, I'm definitely. Thank you, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on.
Already, man. Already.
All right.
All right. Peace.
All right. Peace.